Hey guys, in this episode, I am going to take a different direction again. In this episode, I'm going to go back into a topic that I am fairly familiar with and am currently engaged in, and that is dropshipping versus importing and reselling. Then I'm going to talk about some Gary Vee strategy for social media, what I've learned, and what I am now implementing to up my social media game. So you're gonna want to listen just like you want to listen always. You can follow me on my website, tstuch.com, tstuch.com, buy my merch. Follow me on YouTube, Taylor space Stuch, T-A-Y-L-O-R space Stuch, S-T-U-C-H. Follow me on Facebook, Taylor Radio, T-A-Y-L-O-R, R-A-D-I-O. Same with Instagram and Twitter, tstuch1. Thank you and enjoy the episode. Okay, guys, so let's switch this up a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about some of the business opportunities that I have seen during this COVID situation and how I have taken advantage of those. And I want to go into a little bit more about something I've talked about, like drop shipping. So in the past, I have shit on drop shipping, and I still kind of do. I wonder how many people have actually made a lot of money off of it. It appears that a lot of people have. For those of you who don't know what dropshipping is, it is a technique for selling goods where people don't actually hold physical inventory. So somebody will, for example, they'll go to a website called Alibaba or AliExpress, and they'll find like wholesale deals, or they'll find products that are cheaper than if you were to buy them in the United States. And I mean, most of the things that you buy here, for a lot of things, are manufactured in China. So if you go to AliExpress or Alibaba, you'll find cheaper prices because that's where they come from. Now, what people have been doing is they'll set up their own like Shopify stores, or and they'll set up a Shopify store, they'll set up social media, and they'll start drop shipping. So they'll basically make their own online store. Now, the catch to all this is that I don't know how much of a business this actually is. In my opinion, this isn't actually, drop shipping, the way some people do it, or the way a lot of people do it, is they are not actually running the business that you think they're running. If you're running a drop shipping business that I am describing, where your customers go into Shopify, okay, you build a Shopify store, then your customers, when they order your product, actually what's happening is on the back end, you're ordering it from Alibaba or AliExpress, is usually what's happening. Or at least that's what a lot of people have been doing. So what they'll do is they'll set up a store. Somebody will go, oh, I would like to buy one of these watches, or oh, I want to buy one of these products. And then that product will ship from, they'll ship it from China directly to the customer. So that's the idea. That's drop shipping. Now, this is profitable because you don't have to buy your inventory. So basically what happens is you can say, I'll sell a watch for $12. Well, the actual cost of the watch is $6 to buy from China. So maybe you make a profit of $12 on the difference between what you charge and what the cost is from China. Now, when you do that, you're not holding physical inventory. So you're not actually spending your own money to buy and hold the product. So you could look at that as it's a clever way to run a business. It's definitely clever. And depending on who you talk to, they would say it's smart. I just personally don't want to run a business like that, because you can't guarantee the shipping. You can't guarantee the product quality. You can't guarantee any of that. When you're doing that kind of drop shipping, you're really taking a gamble. You're taking a gamble that whenever you whenever a product is bought, that it will be shipped out in a timely fashion, that the product will be a good quality, all of that. And here's the other side of this equation. If you don't have control over the quality and logistics of your product, then that also cripples your customer service. Right? So how are you going to help a customer with their problem when you have no control over the entire business process? You've outsourced the entire business process to another place. I've actually seen this blow up in somebody's face. There was a guy last year named Tyler Schmidt. It was hilarious to see. So I started following this guy in late 2018. And he's your typical looking, like, 19, 20 year old, full, super smug, full of himself, white dude. Okay. And I have to paint it like that because that helps get the picture. Like one of these guys that's just like, he's young as shit, but he thinks he's got it all figured out and acts like it too. So he had a like bigger than life kind of attitude, and he started getting a decent following on Twitter. And on Twitter, he was talking about how he's making all this money drop shipping with his products and everything. And he was talking about his revenues. And I remember being kind of suspicious because, like, this guy just kind of popped up out of nowhere, it seemed. And some of the proof that he was offering about his success, there wasn't a whole lot of proof. You just had to trust that the numbers, the screenshots he was providing, you know, were actually accurate, that they weren't being manipulated. Because it's very easy to fake, you know, the way that you can make it look like you're making a lot of money, even if you're not making a lot of money. And so this guy was popping off for a few months. And I remember watching him and thinking, like, oh, this guy's actually seems legit. But I was very skeptical. And after a little bit of time, I didn't pay as much attention to him because he started doing something interesting. He would not tell anybody about his store. He wouldn't tell anybody who follows him online about his online store. And I remember thinking, like, well, this is kind of weird, right? Like, if you're going to brag about how successful you are, then why don't you let us see how successful you are, right? Because Twitter, he was building a following on Twitter. And about drop shipping, he would hold periscopes and answer questions. And I remember just thinking that was really strange. And that was when I really started backing off of paying attention to the guy. He would say some funny, interesting things online, but, you know, if you can't show me your results, then I'm not really going to believe you. So, and he's too young to really have any connection to anybody that could vouch for him. So this guy seemed like he was full of shit. Well, sure enough, I would say roughly around mid to late spring, probably mid spring of last year, 2019, he started blowing up. And when I say blowing up, I mean in the bad way. Somebody found his drop shipping, a couple of his drop shipping websites, and there were all of these customer complaints, like on Instagram. So he was running marketing off of his Instagram, and it was a nice website. He was selling watches. He probably got the idea from, there was a startup watch company back a few years ago that was basically Movement Watches. It was, had all their production outsourced to China, and they were just kind of like drop shipping it into customers. So this guy basically had the same idea. He was bringing in products from China, but he was just drop shipping, selling directly from the Chinese factories to customers. But there were some problems. People on his Instagram page were writing, hey, they were writing stuff like, hey, you know, I never got my watch. My watch never came in. Lots of comments on his page about their products not coming in. Then some people were talking about quality, that the quality of the products they were getting was low. Some things were broken. It wasn't as advertised, all this kind of shit. And then it made sense about how and why this guy was doing what he was doing. He was basically building a sham following online, trying to make as much money as possible while trying to build up his profile as being this, you know, this kind of millionaire mastermind kind of kid. Meanwhile, he was just a scammer. He was just a scammer, or at best, he was a lazy businessman. At worst, he was a scammer. And I would say probably in between. I think he probably, judging from what I read about the guy, I think he wanted his business to work, but I think that he also knew he was pulling a fast one on a lot of people, so probably just best to call him a fraud. Now, with that being said, a lot of people have been engaged in this business. I had lunch with a friend of mine last year, and she had a friend who was talking about dropshipping, and she said, well, you don't use Amazon, you don't use any of these things. And at first I was like, what? Like, what do you, like Amazon, like that's where everybody's buying shit. And then it occurred to me afterwards, it's like, oh, she's talking about dropshipping. She didn't know much about it, so she couldn't really answer any of my questions I had. But it was like, oh, basically some dude was going to sell her a $500 course and access to his dropshipping techniques. And I was like, oh, I get it. I get it. So this is what all these motherfuckers do. And it makes it very hard. Because a lot of people are doing bullshit things online, and then they're trying to sell courses about how they do their bullshit business. But anyway, I wanted to say that drop shipping is, it's not always a scam, but it's a lot of scam. A lot of scamming going on with drop shipping. A lot of people are looking to make a quick buck and move on. And like I said, the dangers of drop shipping is you don't control any logistics and you don't control product quality, and it hinders your ability to provide customer service, right? You can't provide good customer service when that's going on. So what I do is I follow a method that I researched a while back ago, which was if you want to sell stuff online, then import it, import samples, test out your samples, and then when you're satisfied, import a bigger amount. So that's what I've been doing. And I actually have been trying this out for a couple of years now. I tried it back in the first go round I had of it was in 2015. In 2015, I tried out a couple different products that nothing really happened. And then I got some Apple Watch bands, which actually did pretty good. But I hated dealing with the colors and the sizes. So I got out of that. And I didn't have a lot of time. At that time, I didn't have a lot of free time. So I didn't want to get stuck into something where I'd have to be dealing with, price, offering different sizes and everything. Now, fast forward to today, and there is new opportunity. So I have been selling, when COVID hit and the gyms shut down, I had an excess of a previously imported product, which were workout bands. I had imported, a bunch of workout bands that people use around their legs and had been selling those as like a side hustle for a while, but they weren't really popping off and, because I didn't buy enough to really bring the price low enough to move them. But when COVID hit, people bought up all my bands. Like I probably had about 25 extra sets and they bought them up in like probably about 2 weeks or less. And in order to help people in the area, I also started looking into other products like, face shields, those plastic face shields and face masks. And sure enough, some of those products, I haven't been able to get face masks, but I was able to get face shields. So if you're able to import face shields, then I would advise giving that a shot. Things are backed up in terms of logistics. So doing a drop shipping game with this probably wouldn't work out very well because it takes a while for everything to ship over here. But you could do a situation where you import, get some product, physically hold it, and then sell it online. Or, you could sell it Facebook Marketplace. I've said before, I've had success with Facebook Marketplace and OfferUp and Mercari. Those have been the three best websites for me to sell my stuff. The problem I have with Amazon is their fees are so high. When you use Amazon FBA, which is what they want everyone to use, then you pay out the ass because you have to pay for them to store it, you have to pay for them to handle it, and you have to pay to ship your own items to the Amazon warehouse. So, it is expensive to deal with Amazon. All right, now I want to go ahead and pivot, and I want to talk a little bit about Gary Vee and Tim Dillon. So Tim Dillon is a great, he's an awesome comedian, and he's definitely more on the dark side of stuff, dabbles in some of the conspiracy talk, but he's well-read in the conspiracy realm, so it's always nice to hear his perspective on some things. He has some funny bits where he goes after Gary Vee. For those of you who don't know, Gary Vee is an entrepreneur I guess I would like to describe him as salesman, marketer, entrepreneur, kind of all within that realm, because he's built himself up as such a iconic figure that he can sell and make brand deals and all that shit all based on his name. Very good idea. He's done, he's really done a good job for himself. So, but anyway, Gary V has inspired lots of people to take entrepreneurial risks, including myself. You know, I was trying some of these activities, these entrepreneurial activities, like the importing stuff, before I even ever heard of Gary V. But listening to him has helped me push some of that into overdrive. Now, after a while of hearing Gary V, he switched from his one of his tones was it was very much like get your ass out there and work and hustle and work and work and grind and grind and work. Then he kind of shifted from that to, well, you need to make sure you're happy, and you need to make sure you're happy, because I think he was starting to find out that a lot of people were struggling with his message about hustling and grinding so hard, because hustling and grinding isn't meant for everybody. Some people are going to have breakdowns, mental breakdowns. Also, being an entrepreneur is very lonely. Being self-employed is very lonely. Right? So I am self-employed. I have, you know, side businesses. I teach a lot of English online with, I have contracts with different companies. I work with individuals. And as a result of that, I don't go to an office with a bunch of coworkers and colleagues. I don't have a bunch of, you know, colleagues and teammates that we bullshit and talk shit about the boss and all that stuff all day. And so, it is tough. It's very tough. Like you basically, it really tests your mental fortitude. Well, as a result of the entrepreneurial grind, I think, and probably getting some messages, he probably got a lot of messages from people that were having mental breakdowns. He's kind of shifted his message to being more about wellness and entrepreneurship and providing warnings for people like, hey, dude, you know, just because you start your own business doesn't mean you're going to be sane. You know, just because you start your own business doesn't mean you're going to be happy. Now, Tim Dillon has been a kind of a critic of Gary Vaynerchuk's message, saying, look, not everyone has a business inside of them. And now, okay, to be fair to Gary V, he makes that clear that not everyone is an entrepreneur, that it's a skill and it's a talent that must be cultivated. But what's funny is that Tim Dillon, I think, has made some he made something really clear that has helped me navigate some of my social media. So Gary V has been a big advocate of people basically creating social media content to then leverage as their brand to then sell. It's been kind of the idea. Okay, so the idea is create content. Create as much content as you can and build attention. Get people to look at you. When people are looking at you, then you can turn that into a monetizable scenario. For example, look at Joe Rogan. Okay, he actually predicted this, but Joe Rogan has like the biggest podcast in the world. And because he has so much attention, now Spotify said, hey, we'll pay you $100 million to bring you over to Spotify. So that can bring, that means all, everyone who wants to listen to Joe Rogan, now that might be a billion people or more that listen to Joe Rogan, will now be going to Spotify likely to listen to him. You see that difference there? When you have people's attention, then companies and people want to do business with you to get a piece of that attention. And that's what Gary V has been advocating for, is, hey, look, build up an audience and then monetize that audience. Build up an audience, sell to that audience, right? Now, but he tries to be careful. He tries to balance that by saying, like, don't be a con man. Like, make sure what you're doing is genuine. So don't just build up an audience to sell shit that you don't believe in, that you think is fake. Now, it took me a long time to understand this message. And also, I didn't know what to post. No idea what to post, right? Because it's like, over the last few years, I have many different interests, and I'm sure a lot of people fall into this category where your life is not this one small coherent thing that you just say, oh, all my pictures are going to be this, right? And a lot of us, this was my experience. My experience was my life is so different in the things that I do that, like, what would I post? Like, if I just post on Facebook or Instagram, like, you know, it's just it's like an incoherent set of pictures and images and videos. So what the hell am I going to post was kind of my dilemma. And I ran into that dilemma several times. But Tim Dillon, listening to him a while back ago, actually helped me focus in on something. He said, look, and he was talking about TikTok at the time, but he said, look, when you're on social media, you got to have an angle. You got to have an angle. He's like, you got to have some kind of angle. Like, if you just get on there and you just do random shit, like, yeah, I mean, maybe you'll get some attention for sure. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you could very well get some attention for that. But he made a good point. He's like, look, you got to have an angle. Most people don't have an angle. Most people are not going to be successful on social media. And he's exactly, I think that's 100% correct. Most people don't have an angle, and even if you do, you're not guaranteed to be successful in that. But if you don't have an angle, then you just kind of have a smorgasbord of shit everywhere, and like I said earlier, most people's lives are like that, including myself. And so the question is, like, well, you know, what do I do if, like, what kind of angle do I approach things at, you know? And it was very kind of difficult for me to figure out. Now, real quick, I want to do a digression here on the angle part. So I've seen this with TikTok. So now that, I mean, like, I have no shame in saying that I'm on TikTok because it's blowing up. You know, I started on it last year and it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's not stoppable unless the U.S. Congress stops it. Now, here's the situation. Is there are people on there that are blowing up. They get lots of followers, lots of views, but they're not creating their own content. So some of the very popular people, it's like Instagram. There's a lot of girls who are getting, and when I say girls, I mean like, you know, adult women, who are getting followers because they're just cute and hot. That's it. And they just post videos of themselves doing random things, or they're copying other people's content, and they are just looking cute while they do it, and they get lots of followers. Now, here's the thing. That's easy to do. Anyone who's good looking, and there's plenty of good looking people out there, can simply do that. And a lot of them are doing it. They're not making any original content. They have no angle. Their angle is that they're cute. Their angle is that they're good looking. But if they can't figure out how to leverage that, then it will turn into nothing. There's also people, and I kind of fell into this realm. I was doing all kinds of random shit to try to get more likes and get more views. But I've realized, oh, wait a minute, dude. Even if you did get views, what is your angle? Like, what do you keep producing? What content do you make? Because some people that have really blown up on the platform have found themselves, it's very difficult to keep creating content because the angle that they took to make their content is hard to keep up. So what I am observing and what I see the most successful people on TikTok, the ones that I follow, like a lot of the accounts I follow are more funny because that's the way the algorithm works, is after you click on so many videos, they keep giving you those videos. So the people that I see that are blowing up the most are people that have an angle. Usually the ones that I see have some kind of comedic angle, and there's a theme going throughout their profile. And not everything adheres to that theme. Sometimes they'll diverge, but they do have a theme that works for them on there. So like with other, I believe that is what Tim Dillon was talking about, and it was hard for me to kind of see that. You see it on Instagram, but it's like, what do you post on Instagram? I think it has to do with a lot of working. I think that you have to interact with the platforms more and more to figure out how to make your theme and what theme that you want to create. So as a result of understanding this better, I think I figured out a better way to manage my own social media content. See, in the past, I didn't quite know how to post things I wanted to post because on Facebook and Instagram, your personal Facebook and your personal Instagram, it's difficult to post certain things because those a lot of times are your friends in real life. And when you post certain material or content, then it might push certain people away from you that there's no reason for that to occur. If that makes sense. Like, so for example, there are people that you actually will get along with in real life, but the way that they post on social media, it's like, it makes you sick, right? Because maybe they post only left-wing stuff. Now, here's the thing about that. That person might be a liberal or might be a conservative, but when you're with that person, they're a good person. Like, you like to hang out with that person and tell stories and get drunk and do things cool and fun things with. But on social media, you're only getting a piece of somebody's mind at a specific time. And if you get enough of those pieces that you dislike, you might develop a negative view of a person when in reality, you like that person or that person is a likable person. So I feel like that's a huge obstacle for people to overcome when posting on social media. As a result, I just started creating several social media accounts and trying to specialize. So I've got one piece of social media that is like my personal stuff where people that I know, I go, oh yeah, click this. And there I show kind of three or four aspects of my life that are big and important to me. One is exercising, fitness. Two is Chinese. Three is, I don't know what the other one is. I forgot. Anyway, maybe just pictures of Houston or whatever the fuck. But it's kind of like my personal things that I do. Then I have another piece, which is mostly devoted to fitness, right? So I just only put fitness stuff on there. I have another piece, which is only political. And I think for people out there that are struggling to figure out how to post as well, that could be an opportunity, right? Like if you have a blog or if you have lots of things you want to say about politics, your friends a lot of times don't give a fuck to hear what you have to say about politics. So maybe create a organization page, maybe create your own blog page on Facebook and put it there so that way you can get like-minded individuals. People that like your political content can subscribe to that channel, right? Same with Instagram. Now, I'm really late to the game on this, but the reason I'm talking about it is because I'm just the average person on social media. I am not a famous social media person. And this is something that I have found is an interesting way to put myself out there into the digital sphere. And it's something that I've thought about a lot because as somebody who wants to be my own boss for the rest of my life, I have to figure out a way to get attention. But how do you get attention the way that you want attention? How do you draw attention to the right things? So currently, my strategy is to create various types of social media based on different themes and to use those themes to attract people that like those themes. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, that's what I wanted to discuss in this podcast. I know it's different from some of the more cultural political content, but I think it's relevant. I think it's extremely relevant to today, especially to people that are also thinking about similar things. As usual, you can find me on my website, tstuch.com, tstuch.com. Read my thoughts there. You can buy my merch. Please buy the merch. Support me. Support me, please. You can follow me on Facebook, Taylor Radio, TAYLORRADIO. You can follow me on Instagram, Taylor Radio, TAYLORRADIO. Follow me on Twitter, TStuch1. And like and subscribe on YouTube so I can get monetized there. Taylor Stuch, TAYLOR Stuch, STUCH. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.